bowed very low, putting his hand upon his breast. Then, seeming not to observe the wizard and his friends, he turned to Eomer and the king. "Welcome, my lords, to Isengard," he said. "We are the door wardens. Meriadoc, son of Saradoc, is my name, and my companion, who, alas, is overcome with weariness," he gave the other a dig with his foot, "is Peregrine, son of Paladin, of the House of Tuke. Far in the north is our home. The Lord Saruman is within, but at the moment he is closeted with one Wormtongue, or doubtless he would be here to welcome such honourable guests."
"Doubtless he would," laughed Gandalf. "And was it Saruman that ordered you to guard his damaged doors and watch for the arrival of guests when your attention could be spared from plate and bottle?"
"No, good sir, the matter escaped him," answered Merry gravely. "He has been much occupied. Our orders came from Treebeard, who has taken over the management of Isengard. He commanded me to welcome the Lord of Rohan with fitting words. I've done my best."
"And what about your companions? What about Legolas and me?" cried Gimli, unable to contain himself longer. "You rascals, you woolly-footed and wool-pated truants, a fine hunt you've led us, 200 leagues through fen and forest, battle and death to rescue you, and here we find you feasting and idling and smoking, smoking. Where did you come by the weed, you villains? Hammer and tongs, I'm so torn between rage and joy that if I do not burst, it will be a marvel."
"You speak for me, Gimli," laughed Legolas, "though I would sooner learn how they came by the wine. One thing you've not found in your hunting, and that's brighter wits," said Pippin, opening an eye. "Here you find us sitting on a field of victory amid the plunder of armies, and you wonder how we came by a few well-earned comforts."
"Well-earned," said Gimli, "I can't believe that."
The riders laughed. "It cannot be doubted that we witnessed the meeting of dear friends," said Theoden. "So these are the lost ones of your company, Gandalf. The days are fated to be filled with marvels. Already I've seen many since I left my house, and now here before my eyes stand yet another of the folk of legend. Are not these the halflings that some among us call the Hobbitlern?"
"Hobbits, if you please, lord," said Pippin.
"Hobbits?" said Theoden. "Your tongue is strangely changed, but the name sounds not unfitting so. Hobbits! No report that I've heard does justice to the truth." Merry bowed, and Pippin got up and bowed low. "Your gracious lord, or I hope that I may so take your words," he said, "and here's another marvel. I've wandered in many lands since I left my home, and never till now have I found people that knew any story concerning hobbits." "My people came out of the north long ago," said Theoden. "But I'll not deceive you. We know no tales about hobbits. All that is said among us is that far away, over many hills and rivers, live the halfling folk that dwell in holes in sand dunes. But there are no legends of their deeds, for it's said that they do little, and avoid the sight of men, being able to vanish in a twinkling, and they can change their voices to resemble the piping of birds. But it seems that more could be said."
"It could indeed, lord," said Merry.
"For one thing," said Theoden, "I hadn't heard that they spouted smoke from their mouths."
"That's not surprising," answered Merry, "for it's an art which we have not practised for more than a few generations.
It was Tobold Hornblower, or Longbottom in the South Farthing, who first grew the true pipeweed in his gardens, about the year 1070, according to our reckoning."
"How old Toby came by the plant?"
"You don't know your danger, Theoden," interrupted Gandalf. "These hobbits will sit on the edge of ruin and discuss the pleasures of the table, or the small doings of their fathers, grandfathers and great-grandfathers, and remoter cousins to the ninth degree, if you encourage them with undue patience. Some other time would be more fitting for the history of smoking. Where's Treebeard, Merry?"
"Away on the north side, I believe. He went to get a drink of clean water. Most of the other Ents are with him, still busy at their work, over there. Merry waved his hand towards the steaming lake, and as they looked, they heard a distant rumbling and rattling, as if an avalanche was falling from the mountainside. Far away came a hum-hum, as of horns blowing triumphantly.
"And is Orthanc then left unguarded?"
asked Gandalf. "There's the water," said Merry, "but Quickbeam and some others are watching it. Not all those posts and pillars in the plain are of Saruman's planting. Quickbeam, I think, is by the rock, near the foot of the stair." "Yes, a tall grey ent is there," said Legolas, "but his arms are at his sides, and he stands as still as a door-tree."
"It is past noon," said Gandalf, "and we at any rate have not eaten since early morning. Yet I wish to see Treebeard as soon as may be. Did he leave me no message, or has plate and bottle driven it from your mind?"
"He left a message," said Merry, "and I was coming to it, but I've been hindered by many other questions. I was to say that, if the Lord of the Mark and Gandalf will ride to the northern wall, they will find Treebeard there, and he'll welcome them. I may add that they'll also find food of the best there. It was discovered and selected by your humble servants." He bowed.
Gandalf laughed. "That's better," he said. "Well, Theoden, will you ride with me to find Treebeard? We must go round about, but it's not far. When you see Treebeard, you will learn much, for Treebeard is Fangorn, and the eldest and chief of the Ents, and when you speak with him, you will hear the speech of the oldest of all living things."
"I will come with you," said Theoden. "Farewell, my hobbits. May we meet again in my house. There you shall sit beside me and tell me all that your hearts desire, the deeds of your grandsires, as far as you can reckon them, and we will speak also of Tobold the Old and his herb law. Farewell." The hobbits bowed low.
"So that is the King of Rohan," said Pippin in an undertone. "A fine old fellow, very polite."
Chapter 9. Flotsam and Jetsam. Gandalf and the king's company rode away, turning eastward to make the circuit of the ruined walls of Isengard. But Aragorn, Gimli and Legolas remained behind. Leaving Arod and Harsafell to stray in search of grass, they came and sat beside the hobbits.
"Well, well, the hunt is over, and we meet again at last, where none of us ever thought to come," said Aragorn.
"And now that the great ones have gone to discuss high matters," said Legolas, "the hunters can perhaps learn the answers to their own small riddles. We tracked you as far as the forest, but there are still many things that I should like to know the truth of."
"And there's a great deal, too, that we want to know about you," said Merry. "We've learned a few things through Treebeard, the old Ent, but that's not nearly enough."
"All in good time," said Legolas. "We were the hunters, and you should give an account of yourselves to us first."
"Or second," said Gimli. "It would go better after a meal. I have a sore head, and it's past midday. You truants might make amends by finding us some of the plunder that you spoke of. Food and drink would pay off some of my score against you."
"Then you shall have it," said Pippin. "Will you have it here, or in more comfort in what's left of Saruman's guardhouse, over there under the arch? We had to picnic out here, so as to keep an eye on the road."
"Less than an eye," said Gimli. "But I'll not go into an orc house, nor touch orc's meat or anything that they've mauled."
"We wouldn't ask you to do that," said Merry. "We've had enough of orcs ourselves to last a lifetime. But there were many other folk in Isengard. Saruman kept enough wisdom not to trust his orcs. He had men to guard his gates. Some of his most faithful servants, I suppose. Anyway, they were favoured and got good provisions."
"And pipeweed?" asked Gimli.
"No, I don't think so," Merry laughed. "But that's another story, which can wait until after lunch."
"Well, let's go and have lunch then," said the dwarf.
The hobbits led the way, and they passed under the arch and came to a wide door upon the left, at the top of a stair. It opened direct into a large chamber, with other smaller doors at the far end, and a hearth and chimney at one side. The chamber was hewn out of the stone,
and it must once have been dark, for its windows looked out only into the tunnel, but light came in now through the broken roof. On the hearth wood was burning. "I lit a bit of fire," said Pippin. "It cheered us up in the fogs. There were few faggots about, and most of the wood we could find was wet. But there's a great draught in the chimney. It seems to wind away up through the rock, and fortunately it hasn't been blocked. A fire is handy. I will make you some toast. The bread is 3 or 4 days old, I'm afraid." Aragorn and his companions sat themselves down at one end of a long table, and the hobbits disappeared through one of the inner doors. "Storeroom in there, and above the floods, luckily," said Pippin, as they came back laden with dishes, bowls, cups, knives, and food of various sorts. "And you needn't turn up your nose at the provender, Master Gimli," said Merry. "This is not orc stuff, but man-food, as Treebeard calls it. Will you have wine or beer? There's a barrel inside there, very passable, and this is first-rate salted pork. Or I can cut you some rashers of bacon and broil them, if you like. I'm sorry there's no green stuff. The deliveries have been rather interrupted in the last few days. I can't offer you anything to follow but butter and honey for your bread. Are you content?"
"Indeed, yes," said Gimli. "The score is much reduced."
The three were soon busy with their meal, and the two hobbits, unabashed, set to a second time. "We must keep our guests company," they said. "You are full of courtesy this morning," laughed Legolas. "But maybe, if we hadn't arrived, you'd already have been keeping one another company again." "Maybe, and why not?" said Pippin. "We had foul fare with the orcs, and little enough for days before that. It seems a long while since we could eat to heart's content."
"It doesn't seem to have done you any harm," said Aragorn. "Indeed, you look in the bloom of health." "Aye, you do indeed," said Gimli, looking them up and down over the top of his cup. "Why, your hair is twice as thick and curly as when we parted, and I would swear that you've both grown somewhat, if that's possible for hobbits of your age. This Treebeard, at any rate, has not starved you."
"He hasn't," said Merry. "But Ents only drink, and drink isn't enough for content. Treebeard's draughts may be nourishing, but one feels the need of something solid, and even Lembas is none the worse for a change." "You've drunk of the waters of the Ents, have you?" said Legolas. "Ah, then I think it's likelier that Gimli's eyes don't deceive him. Strange songs have been sung of the draughts of Fangorn." "Many strange tales have been told about that land," said Aragorn. "I've never entered it. Come, tell me more about it, and about the Ents."
"Ents," said Pippin. "Ents are, well, Ents are all different for one thing, but their eyes now, their eyes are very odd."
He tried a few fumbling words that trailed off into silence. "Oh, well," he went on, "you've seen some at a distance already. They saw you at any rate, and reported that you were on the way, and you'll see many others, I expect, before you leave here. You must form your own ideas."
"Now, now," said Gimli, "we're beginning the story in the middle. I should like a tale in the right order, starting with that strange day when our fellowship was broken."
"You shall have it, if there is time," said Merry. "But first, if you've finished eating, you shall fill your pipes and light up, and then for a little while we can pretend that we're all back safe at Bree again, or in Rivendell."
He produced a small leather bag full of tobacco.
"We have heaps of it," he said, "and you can all pack as much as you wish when we go. We did some salvage work this morning, Pippin and I. There are lots of things floating about. It was Pippin who found 2 small barrels, washed up out of some cellar or storehouse, I suppose. When we opened them, we found they were filled with this, as fine a pipe weed as you could wish for, and quite unspoiled."
Gimli took some and rubbed it in his palms and sniffed it.
"It feels good, and it smells good," he said.
"It is good," said Merry. "My dear Gimli, it is long-bottom leaf. There were the hornblower brand marks on the barrels, as plain as plain. How it came here I can't imagine. For Saruman's private use, I fancy." I never knew that it went so far abroad, but it comes in handy now.
It would, said Gimli, if I had a pipe to go with it. Alas, I lost mine in Moria, more before. Is there no pipe in all your plunder?
No, I'm afraid not, said Merry. We've not found any, not even here in the guard rooms. Saruman kept this dainty to himself, it seems, and I don't think it would be any use knocking on the doors of Orthonk to beg a pipe of him. We shall have to share pipes, as good friends must at a pinch.
Half a moment, said Pippin. Putting his hand inside the breast of his jacket, he pulled out a little soft wallet on a string. I keep a treasure or two near my skin, as precious as rings to me. Here's one, my old wooden pipe, and here's another, an unused one. I've carried it a long way, though I don't know why. I never really expected to find any pipeweed on the journey, when my own ran out, but now it comes in useful after all. He held up a small pipe with a wide flattened bowl and handed it to Gimli. Does that settle the score between us? He said.
Settle it, cried Gimli. Most noble hobbit, it leaves me deep in your debt.
Well, I'm going back into the open air to see what the wind and sky are doing, said Legolas.
We'll come with you, said Aragorn.
They went out and seated themselves upon the piled stones before the gateway. They could see far down into the valley now. The mists were lifting and floating away upon the breeze.
Now let's take our ease here for a little, said Aragorn. We'll sit on the edge of ruin and talk, as Gandalf says, while he's busy elsewhere. I feel a weariness such as I've seldom felt before.
He wrapped his grey cloak about him, hiding his mail shirt, and stretched out his long legs. Then he lay back and sent from his lips a thin stream of smoke.
Look, said Pippin. Strider the ranger has come back.
He's never been away, said Aragorn. I am Strider and Dornadan too, and I belong both to Gondor and the North.
They smoked in silence for a while, and the sun shone on them, slanting into the valley from among white clouds high in the west. Legolas lay still, looking up at the sun and sky with steady eyes, and singing softly to himself. At last he sat up.
"Come now," he said. "Time wears on, and the mists are blowing away, or would if you strange folk didn't wreathe yourselves in smoke. What of the tale?"
"Well, my tale begins with waking up in the dark and finding myself all strung up in an orc camp," said Pippin. "Let me see. What's today?"
"The 5th of March in the Shire Reckoning," said Aragorn. Pippin made some calculations on his fingers.
"Only 9 days ago," he said. "It seems a year since we were caught. Well, though half of it was like a bad dream, I reckon that 3 very horrible days followed. Mary will correct me if I forget anything important. I'm not going into details. The whips and the filth and stench and all that, it doesn't bear remembering."
With that he plunged into an account of Boromir's last fight and the orc march from Eminweald to the forest. The others nodded as the various points were fitted in with their guesses.
"Here are some treasures that you let fall," said Aragorn. "You'll be glad to have them back."
He loosened his belt from under his cloak and took from it the 2 sheathed knives.
"Well," said Merry, "I never expected to see those again. I marked a few orcs with mine, but Ugluk took them from us. How he glared! At first I thought he was going to stab me, but he threw the things away as if they burned him."
"And here is also your brooch, Pippin," said Aragorn. "I've kept it safe, for it's a very precious thing."
"I know," said Pippin.
"It was a wrench to let it go, but what else could I do?"
"Nothing else," answered Aragorn. "One who can't cast away a treasure at need is in fetters. You did rightly."
"The cutting of the bands on your wrists, that was smart work," said Gimli. "Luck served you there, but you seized your chance with both hands, one might say."
"And set us a pretty riddle," said Legolas. "I wondered if you'd grown wings."
"Unfortunately not," said Pippin. "But you didn't know about Grishnak."
He shuddered and said no more.
leaving Merry to tell of those last horrible moments.